Welcome to Whack Brackets, a podcast that is not ashamed to admit it found Michael Trant from White Lion to be a lot more attractive than either Joan Jett or Lita Ford. I'm your host, Mike, and I am going to bracket off hair metal bands today. And to do that, I had to bring in some heavy hitters. So I reached out, or actually, I think they may have reached out to me. Either way, they are the perfect combination for this. They're almost like the Slash to my Izzy Stradlin over here. So I would like to invite on this podcast Mel and Keith from the Rock Hippie Adventures podcast. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
We're doing well. Yes.
Awesome. For some reason, I want to say the Hard Rock Hippies, but that's not right.
That fits too.
That would have been perfectly fine.
The Speed Metal Hippies.
There you go. Any of it.
All right. All metal categories.
Oh, really? Now, see, I might have to bring you guys on for a metal round.
We'll hit definitely.
Yes. Get Megadeth, Metallica, Pantera, get those guys. But we're not going to touch those guys today. Though, honestly, Metallica could almost fall into this because after Injustice for All, they lost all credibility. I'm team. I hate the Black Album. 100%. Despise it.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Oh, no. No. We're off on a bad foot here.
I knew I liked you. From the very start, very first time I heard this show, I knew I loved you.
It's not a very popular opinion to dislike the Black Album, but I am that guy.
He is too.
So with that said, I guess what we need to do is let you guys introduce yourselves a little better. We've been yakking it up, but I want to hear a little more about your podcast and tell people what you're about over at the Rock Hippie Adventures podcast. I keep wanting to say the Hard Rock Hippie Adventures. This is throwing me off.
We may have to change our name, but we might. I'm Keith.
I'm Mel.
Yep. And we are the Rock Hippie Adventures. We're a podcast that really deals, it's more dialogue. We talk about relationships. We love talking about music, movies, really about whatever. It's just kind of like us sharing our life after we met. And I had a podcast before, and I just love the whole environment. I love the networking of it. We decided to do one, and that's what we do. We release every Wednesday, and we have another podcast getting ready to start called The Weekly Dose of Trashality.
Yep. Were we talking about The Bachelorette?
Yeah.
Oh. I gotta throw my digs in.
Yeah. Hopefully, is it going to be just The Bachelorette? Are you guys going to reach out?
Love Island for a couple episodes for that whole season that just went on. But yeah, now we're doing The Bachelorette. We'll just pick up some kind of reality TV show and give our commentary on it for our trashality.
Well, that actually sounds like a lot of fun. I can't watch that stuff for too long, but I do love to be like a drive-by observer to just like 2 or 3 minutes of it and be like, what the hell's going on here?
I'm very cynical of it. So she loves it. I hate it. So we figured it'd make a really good show to kind of bring it together like that.
Yeah, you need a little tension like that. My wife and I actually do a little bit of a podcast sporadically. We haven't done it. We used to do it weekly. We're down to about monthly now. We need to get back involved with it. But this one's taking up some of my time, as well as we've got a girl about ready to go off to college. And that's taking a lot of her time, too. So regardless of that, thank you for the introduction. We're going to get into whack bracketing. But before we do, I wanted to explain to everyone that's never listened to Whack Brackets before, which is the majority of the population from what my numbers say. I wanted to explain to them what whack brackets are or what a whack bracket is. Pretty much all I'm doing is I'm asking the burning questions I never knew you wanted answered until we ask them. And I'll bring on fellow podcasters such as Mel and Keith here, as well as friends of the show. And then we will bracket off similar contestants using irrelevant, ever-changing questions. And that's pretty much the gutter explanation of what a whack bracket is. So with that said, I think if you guys are ready, I'm ready to get started on this hair metal bands bracket. What do you say?
We're ready.
I want to rock.
Keith, what do you want to do with your life, man?
I want to rock.
Now, see, now you've got me talking about stuff that happened in middle school. This still to this day pains me because I took my Twisted Sister album to middle school because we were supposed to bring in songs we liked. So, of course, I took in Twisted Sister. And the band guy, it was like the guy that led the band was the one being the DJ, and he wouldn't play it. He said it was devil music. I was like, what? So,
yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah,
you know, I'm for loving metal.
Long story short, I have 100 of these stories, and none of them are going to go anywhere. So I'm going to get into probably more stories after we have this first question, because we were talking about these guys before the podcast. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about. But this is question one for Whack Brackets: crazier backstage party at their peak. Would it be Kiss or would it be Motley Crue? And I tell you what, Keith, why don't you tell me a little bit about Kiss?
Since I've been around since the 70s, as probably all of us here have, Kiss is probably the longest running slash craziness of hair metal ever in a band. I mean, they came out in the 70s. They've been going ever since. They are known for the backstage partying. I mean, Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley, the two original and members that lasted through all, has absolutely probably seen more TNA than any man alive. They were known for having crazy, crazy, crazy nights. Album reference.
Nice.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah, I did.
But I think some people think they hit their peak in the 70s, but they really hit their peak in the mid 80s. Like, as far as popularity and really getting out there, their makeup came off, but their backstage parties are absolutely epic. With the other two original members being Peter Criss and Ace Frehley. Ace Frehley was a complete addict. So all of everything around him was drugs and alcohol. And Peter Criss was always trying to hide from his wife. So therefore, Beth, or Becky, who her name was. See, I know way too much about this.
You
band.
Know a lot.
I do.
I'm super impressed with you.
Yeah, you're kind of creeping me out a little bit.
I will say Kiss is my all-time favorite band. I have every vinyl. Huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Final. I've been to 20 shows, so I know a little bit. I wish I could have been backstage just once, but I wasn't.
Do you want to opine on Motley Crue, or you're just going to say no? Kiss is there's no. Kiss
I want it. I want it to be Kiss.
All right.
I do, but I can't.
No. Oh, you can't?
No.
You can't pick it.
I can't pick it.
No. So you're going to pick the Crue?
I've got to go with the Crue on this one. I'm not going to take her spot, and she's going to tell you why.
I did some research.
Oh, shit. Yeah, this I got to hear.
So I'm picking Motley Crue because there was a concert. Motley Crue opened for Kiss. I don't know what year it was, but they opened for them. And their backstage parties were so out of control that Kiss ended up firing Motley Crue and told them to head on. Bye-bye. You're being unprofessional.
Shit.
So if Kiss is firing Motley Crue for their antics backstage, then they trump everything. So that's my vote.
All right, well, this is actually going to be a clean sweep then, because don't get me wrong, Kiss has always had the reputation.
Yeah.
But I kind of like read up on it, and Peter Criss is like, oh, these are wild nights. I was getting head from some girl with a mask on. And I was like, okay, you know what? That's crazy, I guess. But then I also did a little bit of research on Motley Crue.
Yes. Yeah.
And Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, this is just of the stuff I knew was bad enough. The stuff I didn't know could fill volumes. Unlike Gene Simmons from Kiss, they would record albums completely shit-faced.
Mm-hmm.
And they traded sex for studio time.
Yep.
And then there was supposedly an instance where Tommy Lee was having sex with a girl and he used the receiver of a phone. And while it was in a said sexual act, tried to call her mom.
Yep, mm-hmm. Sure did.
And here's the beauty of it all. Nikki Sixx follows up a heroin overdose by doing what? More heroin.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just like these guys, they're hardcore. We're not even, I mean, even Tommy Lee's video sounds tame compared to this stuff.
Yeah, you can't touch them. You just can't.
Not for the party. And like I said, as much as I would love to give it to Kiss, they are professionals too.
They were too classy about it.
Oh, yeah.
Like they had controlled backstage parties. I think Motley Crue just went hard.
They didn't care.
They just didn't care. I mean, they got fired by Kiss. Like you are on tour with Kiss and you're like, it's a party. We're going to keep going.
Yeah, I can say this about Gene Simmons. The guy knows how to run a business, and Kiss has always run that business well. And I remember, as I'm sure Keith particularly remembers, we were opining a little bit about some of the stuff we saw as kids. Because we're about the same age, come to find out, which is awesome. Yeah, it's not good for our health insurance rates. But other than that, it's pretty awesome to talk about music. Because I remember when I was a kid, and I'm sure Keith had these too. I had Kiss cards. I had Kiss dolls. Do you remember the Kiss movie?
Yeah, I have it on VHS.
It was such a dumb movie, Noel.
It was. But I loved it. Every moment. Every cringy moment of it was my favorite.
Let me ask you, because I haven't seen it since I actually saw it when I was a kid. When the fake robot kisses come out, instead of saying hotter than hell, did they say kill and destroy? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I would say I barely remember that. As well as, do you even know what color forms are?
Yeah.
I had Kiss color forms.
They were like the little vinyl stickers. Like it came with a background. I know exactly what you're talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? But they weren't
I
stickers.
I had that too.
They
it was clings. All. It was from an album.
Yeah, they're like clean. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
What you're talking about. Yeah. I had them all over the place. Man, I had, if it said Kiss, I had it. I have a Tupperware full of Kiss dolls and action figures.
Oh, really? Yeah. All mine tore up, sadly. The problem with dolls like that, Kiss dolls, and I used to have Marvel superheroes, is that they have the legs that are stuffed in the spandex, but then their legs break and their legs just dangle there.
Yes.
That was all my Kiss dolls. They look like they've been off to war, but they were busy beating the shit out of Spider-Man is what they were doing.
Your dolls had crazier parties than the actual.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was always wondering why when I woke up, Wonder Woman was naked every morning.
There you go.
Paul Stanley sitting there with the smoke in his mouth. I was like, what's going on here? So it does sound like we have a unanimous decision that Motley Crue, as sorry as we are to see Kiss go, sorry, Kiss. But good news is the crew gets to go on, and they get to go on against the winner of this question, which is Rat versus Poison. Which one of these two bands have the cheesier sexual song lyrics?
Rat Poison.
Oh, my goodness. Do you want to go first? I'm going first? Okay.
You're going first. What you got?
I'm picking Poison on this. Okay. Talk Dirty to Me, I guess, is probably the one song that stuck out in my head. And I just learned, I'm like this many years old, that they redid Sexy Back. So Justin Timberlake's song.
They did?
Yeah, recently. Like 2000 something.
It was 2007. They redid it. They covered it a year after Justin
Timberlake. Yeah, so though not in the 80s, they still are singing some songs. So yeah, they covered Sexy Back by Justin Timberlake.
All right. Well, good for them. You
want to
add? Yeah, you want to add anything about Rat, or is Keith going to be the Rat master over here?
I listened to Rat songs, but nothing really stuck out to me. So I'll let him decide that one for us.
Yeah, Rat was terrible.
They weren't very good.
They did have a couple of songs that did make it to almost top 40, but mm-hmm. Round and Round was their hit. And it just, you had to actually dig into it when it comes to Poison. Bret Michaels.
Well, and he was on that game show too. So, I mean, come on, Rock of Love.
But Bret Michaels.
Was he on The Apprentice too? Or was that Janie Lane?
He was
on The Apprentice as well.
Yeah. I get him and Janie Lane confused. So sorry.
I get him and the Tiger King confused. Same guy, right?
Yeah, same guy. No, I'm going to go with Poison as well because honestly, Talk Dirty to Me. That song in of itself is the cheesiest.
It's like every teenage
over-sexualized
boy.
Yeah. Song ever. That whole album, Look What the Cat Dragged In, was nothing but one middle school pubescent teenage boy's mind.
It was. I agree with you completely.
I want action. I'm in.
Night.
You know?
Satisfaction.
Yeah.
All night.
All right.
Yeah.
The whole album was just middle school. So it sucks for Rat because they never get their just deserve, but they never had that factor. And Bret Michaels and Poison sold sex at the cheapest level.
They did.
He really did.
They did.
Yes.
I will say this about Rat. I found Rat to be, I really was never a big Rat fan, but the one thing I did like Rat more than a lot of the hair bands, I believe it or not, hated Poison. I hated Warrant. But in hindsight, I love to hate them. They made my middle school years perfect.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been the same without them. So I'm glad that they happened. Rat, on the other hand, of most of these bands, they had Warren DeMartini, pretty good guitar player. Mm-hmm. And I found the riffs to be pretty solid, but they didn't have that pop sensibility that Poison had. Now, that being said, as far as a song, the one song that I found to be not so much cheesy sexual, but kind of sleazy sexual, Slip of the Lip. You know what they're talking about here. slip of the lip. I like the way you move your hips. Loose lips sink ships. Okay, you know, but that's not even like,
no.
That's just kind of scummy, but that's Rat for the course, you know? And the sad news is people think of them now as just some band that infests some poor middle-aged homeowner's house on Geico commercials, but they had their minute. And that being said, Poison, on the other hand, we already went through a couple other songs, but I think the one that stuck out to me was Unskinny Bop. She just blows me away all night and day. Okay, come on. We don't need to go there. But yeah, everything is just goofy and cheesy with them, but they do have the pop sensibility. And I will be honest with you, and I mentioned this about Mike Tramp earlier, who I almost put White Lion in this because I'm going to say this, White Lion, is honestly one of my favorite hair metal bands, but I didn't even want to put them through the ringer here. Yeah, their second album is great. Vito Bratta is honestly the best guitar player of that era. Unbelievably good.
It was amazing.
But I won't go on a Vito Bratta slob knob fest here. But what I will talk about for a second is Poison. And we were talking about the Look at What the Cat Drug In album. And that's how I'm tying in Mike Tramp here, because Mike Tramp, when he was all dressed up and dolled up, he looked like a hot girl. Poison just looked like an ugly version of Vixen. So, and I saw that album. I was like, these girls are ugly. No, they weren't girls. Ricky Rocket had the little eyeliner going up. It's, oh, no. So I had to bring all this out. But no, I think we agree. This is going to be Poison. She's your sexual song lyrics from Rat.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we get to move on to the next question. So I guess next round, it's going to be Poison against the Crew, which is perfect.
Yes.
But this whack bracket is going to pit Cinderella against Warrant. Who has a song that translates better to bluegrass?
Firstly, I love both of these bands. I'm just giving a shout out for both. I think they're great.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with
Cinderella.
Either.
I know you don't, but
Cinderella,
I love them.
No, Cinderella's great. I love Cinderella. But Warrant? Nah, bro.
I like Warrant. I'm okay with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right.
This one's tough because Warrant gets me with one song.
What's that?
Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Oh, Uncle Tom's Cabin is badass.
Yeah, that is
a great song
on its own.
And it's already kind of bluegrassy.
Yeah, it's already got that feel. It's got that down. It's got that down south twangy version to it. But it's hard.
Don't forget Cinderella's whole second album.
Yeah,
Long Cold Winter is bluesy as shit.
Well, and that was my thing. I was like, as much as that one song gives it to me, when it comes to Cinderella, their whole discography, especially Long Cold Winter, I mean, I can take that whole thing and transform it right into a nice blue. And it's the lyrics. It's the feel. It's the tempo. It's an easier transition from what they're playing already to bluegrass.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I give it to Cinderella. That's my vote. Cinderella.
Cinderella's mine too. Same reason. All right. That Cold Winter album. The whole thing just sounds super bluegrassy, bluesy. Yeah. The very first track, Bad Seamstress Blues Long. I mean, come on, it's got the word blues and bluegrass, and it just would be perfect.
Yeah. And to hear Gypsy Road play on a banjo and
totally
a bright bass.
You could change all of it. You could do banjos. You could do fiddles. They could totally make it work. Cinderella.
The thing about Tom Kiefer is he really, like, the only way you can get that kind of voice is by having an OnlyFans page where you gargle glass for money. Because I've never heard a guy's voice like that. It's amazingly scratchy.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I am actually going to go with Warrant here. And the reason is, again, as we said, Uncle Tom's Cabin is great, but that's not the one I'm thinking of. Actually, the one I'm actually thinking of, and this is going to surprise you, is Cherry Pie. Now, a couple things about Cherry Pie that a lot of people probably don't know, and I didn't, and I researched this, but I always hated the song Cherry Pie. I find it to be atrocious. Okay. And honestly, what was the name of the girl in the video? Is her name Bobby Brown or something?
Is that what it was?
I think.
Yeah.
All I know is she probably led to more premature masturbation than anybody of the MTV era. Kids 10 years old getting feelings they never knew they had.
Yep. For sure. Yeah.
But the thing is about that song, and I didn't know this, and I actually have a little more respect, not much, but a little more respect for Warrant now. They didn't even want that song on the album. They did not want that to be the main song. They wanted Uncle Tom's Cabin to be the main song, and they didn't even want that on the album, and somehow or another they got talked into it. But if you don't mind, as has been mentioned, I like to sing a little in these podcasts. Not well. I'm not going to claim I sing well, but I do like to sing a little. So I was reading over the lyrics of Cherry Pie, and follow me for a minute, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, swinging on the front porch, swinging in the lawn, swinging with it, because there ain't nobody home. Swinging to the left and we're swinging to the right. Think about baseball swinging all night. What do you think?
Yeah.
You got me.
Yeah. That's convincing.
That's really hard to. Yeah.
It's literally a bluegrass song.
It really is.
It is a bluegrass song. I shit you not.
It really is. I'm super impressed.
That's like,
Yeah. So do you want to stick with Cinderella? You guys are welcome to stick, or you guys can change.
I can't now. I got to go with Warrant. I'm switching over.
Look at you. I'm sticking with Cinderella.
All right. Well,
after that,
no,
I'm sold. Can hear it. I'm sold.
Yeah,
I'm
that's kidding. True. Well, because you already kind of thought about Warrant anyway.
And I was really hoping he was going to sing on the podcast.
Well, there you go. Like a dream come true for you.
probably didn't think it was going to be bluegrass. You probably thought it was going to be some high-pitched. I can sing something high-pitched. It sounds like ass, but I'll do it.
I thought you were going to actually sing the actual Cherry Pie song. I was like, oh, this ought to be good.
Let's oh, God, no. God, no. Yeah.
It's terrible. If you really think about it, it's a bad song.
It is. You know, and here's the thing about Warrant is, and I won't rip Warrant too much because they're low-hanging fruit. The thing about them is, outside of, to me, Uncle Tom's Cabin, all the rest of the songs suck. They've got, like, I Saw Red, I think, is one of them, and Where the Down Boys Go. They weren't even good songs. I still just think they're like a malformed version of Poison. I think that's what people confused them with. And the guitar players were okay, but they weren't even that great. Yeah.
They were terrible. Really terrible.
It's like one of those, you know, like those TV shows where they put together bands. Like, that's what I feel like they would have been in the 80s. Well, like a put-together band.
And I don't want to burst, you know, I don't want to pop at them either, but I'm no great guitar player. But if I'm MTV level, I've got to be better than that.
Yeah, I agree. It's true.
Yeah, well, you know, look on the bright side. For Warrant, and I'm going to segue this by going, they're not nearly as ugly as some bands. One of those bands is in this next whack bracket, and they won a play-in to get here. They actually won a play-in against Dokken. I'm not sure if you were aware. Yeah. And Tesla won the play-in versus Dokken. They are going to face Skid Row for the song that still rocks the hardest today. And I won't steal your guys' thunder. I'll let you guys go first. But Tesla, possibly the ugliest band around in the 80s. They were not good-looking men. The only band that was possibly uglier was White Lion, except they had Mike Tramp in it, and he erased all the ugliness from that band. But Tesla, by and large, up and down, they look like they're extras in like some 70s, like Fast Times at Ridgemont High or something. Just some ugly dudes hanging in the back. I won't ruin any more of the discussion. I'll let you guys answer. Out of these two, Skid Row or Tesla, who still has a song that rocks hardest today?
My vote is for Skid Row.
Okay.
And the only reason is that anytime that 18 in Life comes on, I don't know, it just does something to me. Makes me remember being in middle school. I just kind of feel it out. Tesla, though I love Tesla, but the only songs that I liked are all remakes. They're not their own original songs. And they're kind of more of a jam band to me, so I don't dig them too much. So okay. Yeah, Skid Row for me, 18 in Life.
You got it.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you first that I could not watch one single music video from Tesla. I didn't care about if guys look good or not, but it was rough. It was like, think about the nights that you sat in your house when you were about 12, 13 years old. Well, I guess for us in our age bracket, and the Freddy Krueger movie would come on and you're like, I like the horror movies, but man, I cannot look at that dude's face. And then you hear the band comes on, and you go, I just can't stand looking at this dude's face.
Yeah. Anyways, I like his voice. They're just not cute.
It's rough for me because I've never liked Tesla.
Yeah.
And never. I mean, they were never on my radar. They were
okay.
I love music, but the only song that they had that was legitimate to me was Signs. And of course, that was a cover.
Yeah.
So you know I'm giving it to Skid Row because Sebastian Bach has to be one of the greatest front men that never got his due. His vocals, his talent, his level of, I mean, the dude can wail.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm going to say that if you're going to match best song for best song, nothing hits like 18, man.
Yeah, I love that song.
Here's the thing. I'm going to take a long walk around the park to walk back to the same place and agree with you guys. But before I do, I want to at least argue with myself about it. Okay. Is that I saw Tesla open up for Def Leppard. And this was before the Great Radio Controversy. And they jammed Mechanical Resonance, not a bad album for its day. Modern Day Cowboy was pretty good. The Great Radio Controversy was pretty good in places. It really didn't have a song that stood out, but they kind of jammed. I was like, okay, I can jam with Tesla. But I went back. I think I reached out to Keith when I was listening to some of these songs. I went back. I was like, okay, I haven't heard Tesla in so long. I'm going to listen to Modern Day Cowboy because I remember that being the song I really enjoyed the most by them. And it aged so poorly. Oh. It's so dated. And it was unlistenable. And I was like, oh my God. Now, Skid Row, on the other hand, I think we all agree on Skid Row. But I actually disagree in that I didn't like their Skid Row album. I thought their Skid Row album was pretty much a pretty boy version of Bon Jovi. I didn't dig it. They always felt like they wanted to be Bon Jovi, but they weren't quite there or something. I hated that album. Dismissed them entirely. Then Slave to the Grind comes out. Slave to the Grind fucking smokes. Yeah. That album is badass. Slave to the Grind, Monkey Business. It's good. And then they followed that up with another album called Subhuman Race, which is really fucking good too. And there's a song on there called My Enemy. He sounds like Scott Weiland from Stone Temple Pilots. Now, admittedly, it's come out after Stone Temple Pilots, but Skid Row was hanging around a little bit longer than people thought they were. And to this day, if I put on Slave to the Grind in my car, I'm driving 80. Yeah. Slave to the Grind's a pretty badass song. So yeah, 100% in agreement for different reasons. Like I said, 18 in life, I never liked that song ever. Yeah. But hey, we still agree that this motherfucker has pipes. And not only that, he's funny. He's been in Trailer Park Boys.
Yes.
As has Alex Lyson from Rush. So yeah, I agree 100%. I'm still fucking with Skid Row today, but Tessa can go bite one as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, on looks alone, let's just go on that even. I mean,
No, Sebastian.
You're a good-looking man.
He is a damn hella fine-looking man.
Right?
Even the rest of their band's not ugly.
No. Tesla, ugly.
I don't think there's one good-looking dude in Tesla.
No. Not one.
So with that said, the ugly Tesla boys lose this one.
Bye.
Bye-bye. No one is hurt by this decision. You can take your dated 80s sound and your ugly face and your acoustic guitar playing signs bullshit that I didn't even mess with that. Once they started playing that stuff, I was done with them. I was like, no, I'm done with you guys. Tesla, you burnt. So that said, I think we have our next round set. So to remind everyone how we got to this crazy location, we had originally Kiss versus Motley Crue, Crazier Backstage Party at their peak. We went with the Crue. And then for the cheesiest overall sexual song lyrics, we chose Poison over Rat, which is a pretty easy one. This third one was Cinderella versus Warrant, who has a song that translates better to bluegrass. We almost put Cinderella through, but a late audible by Keith saw Warrant sneak through. And then finally, for the last question of this round, it was Skid Row versus Tesla, song that still rocks the hardest today. If the question were ugliest band known to man, Tesla would have advanced over just about anyone, but it wasn't that. And Skid Row advanced to no one's surprise. So we're here at the second round if you guys are ready.
Yes, do it.
All right. This one, I changed the question order a little bit because I thought this worked out better for this contest, and I think it's going to. Which song has the best band with the worst solo? Would it be Motley Crue or would it be Poison?
Oh, that one's tough for me. You want to go first?
Let's just say Ricky plays better than Nikki.
Ricky plays better than Nikki. I like your rhyming there.
If you go back, I wanted to base this off of...
You mean Mickey?
Mickey, Ricky. They all. It's tough. Motley.
What a pity. He don't understand. Yeah. By the guitar, not by the hand.
I want to make this very scientific.
Oh.
So let me find the best song from both. Mm-hmm. Just listen to the solo. Poison plays better. It's a better track. It's a better
What two
riff.
Songs did you look at?
Shout Out the Devil.
Yes.
And I looked at Kickstart My Heart because I took it from two different eras for Motley Crue.
Okay.
And then I did Talk Dirty to Me and I did Every Rose Has a Thorn.
Yes.
So I took those two from Poison. And it's good because Poison has that nice acoustic track, but the solo, even in that, in Every Rose Has a Thorn,
is just better.
Okay.
Motley Crue's solos were simple.
Yeah.
Terribly played. Possibly due to the amount of drugs that was in their system every time they tried to record. But I'm going with Poison on this one. It's just...
No, this is the best song with the worst solo.
Oh, gosh.
You did it backwards.
I did it backwards.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's Motley Crue.
You have a wrong one. It's the Rickies and the Mickeys and the Nickies. You got yourself confused. It's okay. I understand.
I loved how I went all scientific with it.
And then didn't. And then blew it.
Completely.
It's okay. I'm with you.
Motley Crue.
I'm choosing Motley Crue as well for similar reasons. I just think that as far as the best solos, even in Every Rose Has Its Thorn, that solo just hits hard. So I'm going to have to go with Motley Crue. It's just messy. It sounds really trashy. Poor Nikki. Bless his little heart. If he just would have practiced a little bit and spent more time not doing drugs and
Well, Mickey's the one that plays the guitar. Mick Morris is the guitar player.
Not Mickey Six. Yeah. Yep. Well, whoever's playing the guitar over there, they need to get themselves together. It just doesn't sound good.
Yeah. Yeah. Mickey Six is the good looking one. Mick Mars is the one that looks like he's a corpse.
Yes.
He looks like Weekend at Bernie's. They propped him up there and he's got the real black hair. And he's, when all of them look like they were in their early 20s, he looked like he was pushing 45.
He's like the dad. He's like, Grandpa's coming to play the guitar. Okay.
So, but this one to me was pretty easy because I really don't like a lot of Poison songs. I've realized they have pop sensibility. They have good hooks and riffs, but I don't mess with them. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, to me, to this day, Wild Side comes on and I'm stoked. Wild Side is phenomenal. Yet the solo in there is like just a couple of like whammy bar dives or something. I was like, has he ever played a solo worth a shit?
No.
And it's amazing to me that it's a testament actually to how good of a rhythm player he is, that he can't play a solo to save his life. Somehow or another, in an era where guitar gods were at the zenith, and here's Mick Mars, he's ugly as shit, he can't play lead, and he doesn't have a lead guitar player, and somehow or another, Motley Crue was as big, pretty much at their peak, as almost every band on this list, except maybe Kiss.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree.
So, yeah. With that said, I think this goes to them for almost any other band. I can't think of many bands that rock at their peak, at their best song, rock harder than the Crew with such bad solo work.
And the testament to the solo being bad for Motley Crue is that any hair band, you know exactly where to find. Like if you go to Spotify and say, hair band, solo, mm-hmm. 2/3 through the song, bam, there's your solo. Motley Crue, you're like going back and forth in a song.
You couldn't even find it super easily. And then it would be so short. Like some of them are, a little bit longer, but theirs is like almost non-existent in some songs. It's there, but it's like a bleep and then keep on going. Like, don't do the guitar solo. Don't do the guitar solo. Like they stop them halfway through. Okay, that's enough of you. Keep going.
This is the part where you're going to do your guitar solo and Vince Neil is going to chug like a fifth on stage. So nobody's paying attention to what the hell's going on.
Right. Exactly. It's a bait and switch. Okay.
Yeah. This is where Tommy Lee's drums spin. And I've seen the Crew live. I saw them. Whitesnake opened up for him. So there you go. So it looks like Motley Crue is going to advance to the next round. Woo. And they are going to face the winner of this whack bracket, which is going to be Skid Row versus Warrant. And which of these two bands are you more likely to see their shirt at your state fair?
Oh,
this is a tough one.
My gut tells me Skid Row only because they have more staying power than Warrant. So I would think that perhaps people that actually listen to Skid Row are just wearing old concert t-shirts. So that's still showing up. And then people who have children like us that love the hair metal bands have found them little shirts at Spencer's or at Hot Topic, rocking their little Skid Row shirts too.
I'm gonna go Warrant.
Okay.
Only because.
Do you own one?
Ew.
Ouch. Hardcore.
Wedding is only 2 weeks away.
Oh, okay. We're wearing Warrant and Skid Row shirts.
Please do. Send me pictures.
I'm gonna go Warrant only because of the song Cherry Pie.
Oh, good.
Because
that's a good
at
thought.
Your state fairs, you're not going to see the sophisticated classiness trolling through. You're not going to see just a wide, diverse range. I mean, this is the place where deep fried Twinkies and Oreos, pigs are being slaughtered to make fresh barbecue.
Oh, my word.
This is your state fair. I only have experience from the South.
Right.
State fair. Yeah, sorry for anybody involved in Mason-Dixon line. So, with that said, every 1980s guy with a mullet loves the cherry pie. They're looking for the cherry pie at the state fair, and they're rocking their Warrant shirt.
Oh my
that
God.
Is going to be your thing, because nobody gives – no self-respecting Skid Row guy is going to wear his Skid Row shirt and get it dirty at the state fair.
Oh, my gosh. I can't with you.
So, yeah, this one actually – as has been well documented, I like Skid Row, but they really had a pretty short shelf life as a band. And I think if you're going to see somebody at the state fair with one of their shirts, it's probably going to be some some mid 40-year-old lady that can still fit in her Skid Row shirt. And she's looking through it. She's like, wow, I found my Skid Row shirt. I'm going to wear it to the state fair. And her buddy's wearing a 38 special t-shirt.
Oh, gosh.
It's going to be a bad scene either way. But Warrant, don't get me wrong. First off, you have the cherry pie, but that's not where I'm going with this. I'm going with this from a little bit different angle. I believe Warrant still has music coming out today. I think they still play live.
Yeah, they do.
Do they really?
Yeah, they do.
Yes, believe that or not. And they are likely not only are they playing live, they are likely to be playing for free at a state fair somewhere.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
They've got the merch booth, and a girl's going to walk up to the merch booth, and she's thinking, you know what? I could get with Janie Lane. She's flashing her smile. She said, oh, this is such a pretty shirt, Janie. And it's like, next thing you know, she's spending $25 on a Warrant t-shirt because she thinks she's getting backstage, and Janie Lane just fleeced her for like 10 hours worth of her work. So, yeah, I think that Warrant, just dynamically from the fact they still play, they're probably playing state fairs, I'm going to have to go Warrant. So sadly, and I don't even like Warrant, but they're here.
I'm going to get my Skid Row shirt and go on to the state fair, I guess.
Put Keith in that 38 special shirt.
I think I still have one.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'll go find an Alabama shirt there, and we can all go together.
Sweet. Nice.
Oak Ridge Boys.
I was literally about to say the Oak Ridge Boys.
Mm-bop.
Stupid.
Giddy up, mbop, mbop, mow, mow.
Yes.
Now, I love when he goes even lower the second time. And he's like, mbop, mow, mow.
Gotta love that song.
That is a good song.
Everybody loved that song.
Of course.
Now, I could talk about some really bad old country music that my dad used to make me listen to, but we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about this good hair metal music, or this bad hair metal music. With that said, we have Warrant advancing against Motley Crue to the finals here.
Oh, my gosh.
This is terrible.
Of all the bands that ended up at the end. I mean, really.
This is the way whack brackets works. It's not supposed to make sense.
Yeah.
If it made sense, it wouldn't be any fun to listen to. And I'm hoping it's fun to listen to. Put it this way, it would be predictable. I may be a bad podcast, but I'm not predictable. Final question.
Oh, boy.
Warrant, the Crue, more likely for a couple, such as yourselves, to use as their first wedding dance song. Which one of these are you guys going to use? Are you going to use a Warrant song, or are you going to use a Crue song?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know where to go with this one. It's like bad choice and bad choice too.
I did not prepare.
Oh my gosh. I gotta think about this.
Okay.
Oh. This one's rough.
I will go with the Crue.
Okay.
For a wedding song?
Yeah.
All right. Tell me why.
Dr. Feelgood. No, just playing.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Crue for Home Sweet Home.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. If I'm going to go for a wedding song and be serious about it, I'm going to give it to the Crue because, again, I'm not familiar enough with Warrant's entire collection and volume to know they have a song good enough. Then again, their band wasn't good enough to play at my wedding.
I'm trying to think of even a song that would even be appropriate.
How about Heaven?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Heaven from Warrant.
Yeah, that was...
I guess if you're in a polygamous relationship, you could do Motley Crue, Girls, Girls, Girls. That might work out for you.
Hey, I'm down with that.
I mean, it's an option.
Not only does that fit from the multiple girls standpoint, it also fits from an age standpoint for Mormons.
See, there you go.
So, yeah. Warrant. Girls, Girls, Girls is the Mormon theme song for weddings.
Yes. I mean, if this was the divorce song, I definitely could go Shout at the Devil, but...
So you're still going with Motley Crue?
Yeah, I'm going with Motley Crue.
I'm going to go with Warrant. Only because Heaven's about as close to a first wedding dance song as you possibly can get that's not, like, ha-ha funny. It's still kind of creepy, though, because, like, there's, like, little girl references in there, and I'm not really sure how that fits in with the wedding, but we'll go with it. Daddy issues or something in that song. I don't know. I just feel
you feel it all right.
I'm just going with Warrant. I don't have daddy issues. Shut up. Is that what you're referring to?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
So Warrant for Heaven is my vote.
I know Crew has a couple more songs. I can't think of them at the moment. That it's like they have the Without You, I think, is one. But Home Sweet Home is such a classic. They've even redone, from what I think, they've even redone a country version of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so not a bluegrass version, but a country version. It was awful, mind you, as most country songs are when they redo rock classic, quote unquote, songs like this. But that's okay. Though I do have to say, Garth Brooks' "Hard Luck Woman" by Kiss is actually, it's pretty good.
It is excellent.
Yeah.
Outside of that, no. Then country guys usually fuck that stuff up. That said, I do think that it's low hanging fruit with the Crew. Warrant was lucky enough to get this far. They got here on luck and not talent. The Crew got here with fat riffs and popular songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that even then, I think that you're going to have to, I think it's Home Sweet Home. I think that's what you hear. I think it's a bad song to play as a first wedding song.
Yes.
Definitely one you could see someone play, I'd say.
I have been at a wedding.
No, have you really?
That Home Sweet Home was played.
Really? As a wedding song?
It wasn't the first dance, but it was
a slow song that people danced.
The daddy daughter dance.
Oh God!
Oh God! No, you're making that up.
Are you serious?
Hell no!
Oh, I was like, holy shit!
But it was played. It was played because they were Crew fans. I think I heard "Shout at the Devil" and "Looks to Kill," and they were all played.
Well,
that was a terrible wedding.
Did the wife come out in like the old Crew makeup?
It was kind of like a wedding. Because they were huge Motley Crue fans, and they had the whole
getup.
It was crazy. Oh,
you're shitting me. That's awful. now that we're talking about weddings, I do have one question before we wrap up, because the Crew's going to win. But have you guys seen? And it's atrocious. There's a wedding party. It's a new video out with like the guy that's getting married, and his best men are playing guitar, and then his bride comes in, and she's playing power chords. And they're playing like the wedding march all on electric guitar.
No, I've not seen it.
It's awful. It's so bad because she doesn't even really know how to play guitar. You could tell she's been goaded into this. What, she
doesn't know how to play guitar? She's in Motley Crue? I didn't know.
She might be. But her rhythm playing sucks, though. She's no Mick Mars. Her lead work is similar, but yeah, I think they had her guitar tuned to a drop D, and she's just literally there like barring one so she can play, and I'm just like, in her defense, she's really got to love her man to do that, but that guy's kind of a dickwad.
Yeah,
to do that on her wedding day, I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah, you don't make the bride look stupid. That's not okay.
Yeah, just you'll have to look it up after this. It's a lot to deal with.
Oh yeah,
we're finding it.
All right. So with that said, now that I've gone off topic again, as I do par for the course, Motley Crue is going to win the hair band's whack bracket. Yeah. So fortunately, we had Keith and Mel here to help keep me on pace, on target, and kept me straight. So I do appreciate it, guys. But before we go, why don't you guys explain to everyone a little more about your podcast and how people can reach you on social media platforms?
Yeah, you can get our podcast on every platform out there, Spotify, Apple, Google, all of it. Again, our podcast is a dialogue podcast about relationships, music, fun, movies, scaring the shit out of her. It's all what we do. And we are on Instagram, Facebook, sort of Twitter, and you can reach us at Rock Hippie Adventures.
Yep. And we have our other podcast, The Weekly Dose of Trashality, which will come out this Saturdays. Our new Bachelorette episodes are coming out. Blech. Check that out, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Blech.
Nice. So you guys on all the social media platforms for that guy, too?
Not Facebook, just mostly Instagram on that one.
Instagram, Trashality _podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Good deal. Well, I will tell people how to reach my podcast then, because I am also on the social media platforms. I am on the Instagrams and the Tweeters primarily. I am on the Facebooks, but the only other people on Facebook are as old as Mick Jagger and as ugly as Keith Richards. So I avoid going over there and pimping my podcast. But if you want to reach me at Whack Brackets on any of the social media platforms, you can. Or if you want to send me an email, you can send it to anything at whackbrackets.com. You can send it to MikeTrampIsHot@whackbrackets.com. I will get that. You can send it to Mick Mars Plays Guitar Like Ass @whackbrackets.com. I'll get that too. Whatever you want. So If you have anything to say about this episode, we'd love to hear it. Reach out to us on either one of our social media platforms. I'm sure they'll respond. I know I will. And if you have an idea for any future Whack Bracket or any questions, let us know. We'll respond. But mainly what I wanted to do is I want to thank you guys for joining me tonight, because this has been a fun little jaunt down memory lane for me. And I think you guys did a great job. So thank you again. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. All righty. Well, with that said, I am going to say goodbye and I'll see you guys soon. And I will let Mel and Keith lead you out. See you guys soon.
Peace. Bye.